Hey, everybody, a special Thanksgiving episode. We talk about why this day is so special. I hope you enjoy it with friends and family and take a day to breathe and say thanks to our wonderful God for giving us the gift of America. Made possible by those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. Special Thanksgiving episode. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving week. We live in the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. And I truly believe that one of the fundamental divides that plagues our country is half the country is thankful that they live in the United States of America. The other is angry and bitter that they live in the United States of America. And something I said last week that I don't think was that controversial is that the left has always been trying to attack the tenets of Thanksgiving and with it, Thanksgiving. And that is directly tied in with their measures of lockdowns. And I could prove it to you. If the left was so concerned about public gatherings, then they wouldn't have given a moral preference to BLM Incorporated or racial insurrection riots throughout the summer. They deem that essential. They deem abortion essential in cannabis dispensaries, but not giving thanks. There's a reason for this. One of the reasons is that the American left is dominated by secular humanist atheists. And I have some really good friends that are atheists, and I've had some really good discussions recently with people who are atheists that are with us on freedom of speech, freedom of dialogue. But it's when the atheist mindset almost becomes a religion of its own to destroy all Judeo-Christian, as they call heteronormative, phallologocentric traditions. I could use all their SJW buzzwords for them, from Erbit Mekuza. And so I'm going to point you to an article that was written in November of last year by David J. Silverman in the New York Times, The Vicious Reality Behind the Thanksgiving Myth. Generations of Americans have told themselves a patriotic story of the supposed first Thanksgiving that misrepresents colonization as consensual and bloodless. The story goes like this. That English pilgrims cram aboard the Mayflower and brave the stormy Atlantic to seek religious freedom in America. They disembark at Plymouth Rock and enter the howling wilderness equipped with the proto-constitution, the Mayflower Compact, and the confidence that they are God's chosen people. Yet sickness and starvation halve their population during the first winter and challenges their faith. But he tries to put forth a different narrative that these were colonialists, these were conquerors. That despite keeping a distance, the Indians were then victims of their colonization. What happens to the Indians next, the story has nothing to say. The Indians' legacy is to present America as a gift to white people, or in other words, to concede to colonialism. Like Pocahontas and Sacagawea, the other famous Indians of American history, they help the colonizers and then move off stage. Contrary to the Thanksgiving myth, the Pilgrim Wampanoag encounter was no first contact meeting. Rather, it followed a string of bloody episodes since 1524 in which European explorers seized coastal Wampanoags to be sold overseas into slavery and to be traded as interpreters and guides. The New York Times continued by publishing the story. If Americans continue to insist on associating Thanksgiving with pilgrims and Indians, the least we can do is try to get the story straight. We should put the Wampanoags at its center and acknowledge the remarkable fact of their survival to this very day. Now, this is contrasted with reality, of course, that the American pilgrims were nonviolent people, that the American pilgrims actually in Thanksgiving participated alongside indigenous American Indians in the first Thanksgiving. And if you don't believe in a higher power, if you don't believe in an omniscient, omnipotent, and loving God, then who exactly would you give thanks to on Thanksgiving? You could give thanks for other people if you believe in God. Thank you for giving me certain people in my life, for giving me safety and health and peace and comfort. But if you don't believe in God, who exactly are you saying thanks to? I guess you could say thanks to your family members for being good to you. I guess so. But it just seems kind of woefully, philosophically, religiously incomplete. And there's a reason for all of this. You have to understand, the left is deconstructionist by nature. Again, the left, not liberals. The left, which is the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, those types in the Democrat Party, they are driven by a school of thought called deconstructionism. They want this disintegration and the absolute dissolving of the American experiment. This is why they have an overemphasis on the less than desirable parts of American history that we don't ignore as conservatives, but we also don't go out of our way to overemphasize it as if that is what the entire journey of America was about. And Senator Tom Cotton says it best. It's the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrim's arrival. Why haven't we heard more about it? And he's exactly right. This 400 years since the Pilgrims arrived in America. In November of 1620, a battered old ship called the Mayflower arrived in the waters off of Cape Cod in what is now known as the state of Massachusetts. The passengers aboard the Mayflower were our nation's first founders, or as Daniel Webster called them, our Pilgrim fathers. Webster delivered a speech to honor these pilgrims on the 200th anniversary of the Mayflower's arrival. Calvin Coolidge, then governor of Massachusetts and president-elect, delivered an address on the 300th anniversary. Isn't it a sad state of affairs that more young people are being taught about the 1619 lie, but not the 1620 journey? They're being taught about this lie that America was founded on slavery. It wasn't. And they're not talking about the 1620 journey of biblical freedom seekers that came to this country to settle, to found a country around Christian values. And what it really comes down to is a bitterness, a deep resentment for the country around you. You see, gratitude is necessary to living a life of peace and a life that leaves you content. If you're not thankful for what is around you, of course you're going to be more likely to want to tear it all down. If you're not thankful for the country that you live in, then it makes it a lot easier to justify reparations or remaking America in your image. If you have even 1% or 1 degree of gratitude, then of course you're going to be less likely to support a set of policies and decisions that would deconstruct our country from within. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas says Squanto's tribe had been wiped out a few years earlier by an epidemic plague. He now lived amongst the Wapanoag tribe in what is today southeastern Massachusetts and Rhode Island. The plague had also weakened the Wapanoags, though not neighboring rival tribes. The Wapanoag chief, Massasoit, thus had good reason to form an alliance with the Pilgrims. Squanto introduced him to the settlers and facilitated their peace and mutual aid treaty, which lasted more than 50 years. Squanto remained with the Pilgrims, acting in Bradford's word as the interpreter and a, quote, special instrument sent of God for the good, for their good beyond their expectations, end quote. He instructed them on cultivation of native crops like corn, squash, and beans. He showed them where to fish and hunt. He guided them on land and sea to new destinations. You probably remember learning what happens next. As the Pilgrims recovered and prospered throughout 1621, they received the blessings of a bountiful fall harvest. The Pilgrims invited Massasoit and Wampanoags to join them in a feast to express their gratitude to their allies and give thanks to God for his abundant gifts. This meal, of course, was called the First Thanksgiving. As I said, the First Thanksgiving was a celebration of harmony, was a celebration of bringing people together, unlike what the New York Times' David Sullivan says, the vicious reality behind the Thanksgiving myth. Tom Cotton responds by saying, the story of the Pilgrims is not a myth or a caricature. It's the living truth of history. What's more, the faith, bravery, and wisdom of the Pilgrims places them in the American pantheon. Alongside the Patriots of 1776, the Pilgrims of 1620 deserve the honor of America's founders. And instead of celebrating coming together, family, and giving thanks to a good God, tyrannical governors are saying shelter in place. Don't see your family members, pandering to anti-science lockdowns and dishonoring the legacy of our founders and the Pilgrims that helped build this country. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised and harvested meat to the families across the country. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. Have the best Thanksgiving and Christmas ever with Good Ranchers free hickory, honey, holiday ham. Every new subscription gets a Berkshire Hickory Honey Smoked Ham for free. Our Berkshire hams are 100% no antibiotics ever, 100% hormone-free, 100% born and raised in America. Hands down, the best ham you will ever eat. Berkshire pork, which is a heritage breed, is known as the world's best pork. And as always, Good Ranchers is 100% American beef and chicken and now pork. Steaks are always USDA choice and higher. And chicken is 100% all natural, no hormones added ever. Give the gift of steak and free hams this holiday season. Go to GoodRanchers.com. Get 100% American-raised beef right to your door. Beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed grain. Finished beef delivered straight to your door. It is GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. Get 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken at GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. We are going through Thanksgiving, its roots, and the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. I also want to get to some things that are happening in the news cycle. Mika Brzezinski, interestingly, uses the same term that we've been warning about here, the Great Reset. Play cut 7 of Mika Brzezinski.
But, okay, so, and then there are people who give things that are false as their reasons.
Right.
And that is, that's something we need to look at.
Well, that's what,
I mean, that's actually the degradation of our, you know, media and journalism world. Maybe there's a difference. And that, you know, there needs to be a reset in terms of the value of the truth and the news.
And that is coming after Joe Scarborough on MSNBC Cut 6 says no one has a compelling reason to support Trump. That anyone who supports Trump, it's just straight up laughable. Play cut 6.
I've talked to my friends and my family members. They don't have a good answer as to why they're supporting Donald Trump. They really don't. They just sort of mumble around and say, oh, you know, I don't like him. I hate him. He's a horrible human being. But, you know, he's our guy. It's really they're again, nobody has really given a compelling, cogent reason that's based on verifiable facts as to why.
People.
I mean, to say that Donald Trump's a straight talker is laughable.
I would love to go on Morning Joe. I think that would probably make some fireworks. I think that the Charlie Kirk appearance on Morning Joe would probably be one of the more interesting segments. And this goes to show a pattern now of behavior from the left, where instead of celebrating victory, instead of Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski enjoying the win of Joe Biden, they're already talking about reprogramming and ridiculing Trump supporters. This is a pattern now from the Trump Accountability Project to AOC to Michelle Obama. And the reason is this, that they were expecting, anticipating, planning, and funding a landslide. That they were putting massive amounts of effort to try and make a multi-state decisive death blow to conservatives possible. And they're kind of realizing that if Joe Biden becomes president, it won't be because of his ideas. It won't be because of the Democrat policy agenda. Instead, it will be because out of the mechanics of the campaign changing, mail-in voting, absentee balloting, lack of signature verification, questions and problems with the voting machines, and also paired that with hatred of Donald Trump and a unified activist media and a unified Democrat base. You put all of that together, that is not a recipe for long-term Democrat victory. It isn't. Their ideas were widely rejected on a state local level. Democrats were not able to show any form of progress or flips outside of Senator Martha McSally or Senator Cory Gardner losing, which were very much anticipated and projected. And the Democrats' agenda is now to go after Republicans and conservatives at all costs. We have seen this from verified blue checkmark Twitter saying that re-education camps are not out of the question, that we might have to seek out and search out methods to reprogram Trump supporters and conservatives to think the way that we do. Now, what's the significance of all this? The significance of the Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski endless musings is that now that they are in power, they are going to be far less convinced about governing and far more concerned about who could dare disagree about how they want to govern. You see, I want to explore some predictions and projections that I think what will happen if Joe Biden does become the next president of the United States. You see, the current news model that exists, the profit model behind the news agencies, if you can call them that, the New York Times, the Washington Post, is not to actually report facts and to seek truth. It's to try and portray a narrative that the KKK is rising up again, that fascism is here in America. That stuff sells newspapers. That stuff gets you subscriptions to the New York Times. It does. Gets you podcast downloads. What happens if you can't say that anymore? There's almost always a rise in break-ins during the Christmas season. Thugs and vigilantes, people that want your stuff and your family, will start breaking into homes. That's why Simply Safe Home Security is having a massive Christmas sale. Up to 50% off any Simply Safe system and free security camera. Recently, U.S. News and World Report called it the best home security of 2020. So whether you're traveling or staying put for the Christmas season, check out up to 50% off plus security camera deals before it ends this week. So they have high quality equipment, great camera footage, and ease of setup. All the property I care about uses Simply Safe. You can get it set up in about 30 minutes. It's super easy. Then Simply Safe security specialists take over monitoring your home around the clock and ready to send emergency help the moment there's an alarm. So get up to 50% off Simply Safe plus a free security camera today by visiting simplysafe.com/Charlie. Go today. This deal is this week only. That's simplysafe.com/Charlie, simplysafe.com/Charlie. There's an amazing article here on The Federalist that I want to talk about. Act of Houdini. Five ways Joe Biden magically outperformed election norms. Who's the author of this article? I don't know. It's The Federalist, though. 80 million votes. The Federalist says a lot of Americans turned out for a Washington politician who's been in office for nearly 50 years. The author is J.B. Shirk. Consider this. No incumbent president in nearly a century and a half has gained votes in a re-election campaign and still lost. President Trump gained more than 10 million votes since his 2016 victory, but Biden's appeal was so substantial that it allegedly overcame President Trump's record support among minority voters. Biden also shattered Barack Obama's own popular vote totals, really calling into question whether it was not perhaps Biden who pulled up Obama across the finish line in 2008 and 2012. This is written sarcastically, intentionally, of course. Proving how sharp his political instincts are, the former vice president managed to gather a record number of votes while consistently trailing President Trump in measures of voter enthusiasm. Biden was so savvy that he motivated voters unenthusiastic about his campaign to vote for him in record numbers. Winning despite losing bellwether counties, number two. Biden is set to become the first president in 60 years to lose the states of Ohio and Florida on his way to the election. For a century, these states have consistently predicted the national outcome, and they've been considered roughly representative of the American melting pot as a whole. Despite national polling giving Biden a lead in both states, he lost Ohio by 8 points and Florida by more than three. Maybe because those are tough states to cheat in, because they've had good Secretary of States and we've been involved in the process. For Biden to lose these key bellwethers by notable margins and still win the national election is newsworthy. But not since the mafia allegedly aided JFK in winning Illinois, which we've covered exclusively and extensively, I should say, over Richard Nixon in 1960 has an American president pulled off this neat trick. Even more unbelievably, Biden is on his way to winning the White House after having lost almost every historic bellwether county across the country. The Wall Street Journal and the Epoch Times independently analyzed 19 of these counties around the United States that have near perfectly predicted the presidential outcome. President Trump won every single bellwether county except Clallam County in Washington. The vice president picked up Clallam County by about 3 points. President Trump's margin of victory in the other 18 counties averaged over 16 points. In a larger list of 54 bellwether counties that have correctly picked the president since 2012, Trump won 51 of them by an average 15 points, while the other seven went to Biden by around 4 points. Bellwether counties overwhelmingly choose President Trump, but Biden found a path to victory anyway. Biden trailed Clinton except in a select few cities. Magic trick number three. This is a phenomenal article, by the way. The Federalist. Patrick Basham, a pollster with an accurate track record and director of the Democracy Institute in D.C., highlighted two observations made by fellow colleagues, polling guru Richard Barris of Big Data Poll and Washington Post election analyst Robert Barnes. Quote, Biden underperformed Hillary Clinton in every major area across the country, except for Milwaukee, Detroit, Atlanta, and Philadelphia. Barnes added that in big cities in swing states run by Democrats, the vote even exceeded the number of registered voters everywhere. So we're supposed to believe as we go in here, Biden got 80 million votes. Don't ask any questions. He lost all of bellwether counties. Now, the only explanation for this possibly is the massive amount of mail-in voting that happened. They changed the way we did elections permanently in this country, and we let it happen. Our weak Republicans, we were not involved enough. We were trying to raise the alarm here. The people said, oh, don't worry about it. Mail-in balloting is wonderful, safe and secure. Let's get actual tape of President Trump warning about mail-in balloting, if we can. Magic trick number four, Biden won despite Democrat losses everywhere. We've talked about this extensively on the Charlie Kirk Show. Randy DeSoto noted in the Western Journal that, quote, Donald Trump was pretty much the only incumbent president in U.S. history to lose his reelection while his own party gained seats in the House of Representatives. Now, that's a Biden miracle. Jeez. The Cook Political Report, which is professionally wrong. The New York Times rated 27 House seats as toss-ups going into Election Day. Right now, Republicans appear to have won all 27. Democrats failed to flip a single state House chamber. Christina Polizzi, a spokesperson for the Democrat legislative campaign community, said, quote, it's clear that Trump isn't an anchor for the Republican legislative candidates. He's a buoy. Amazingly, Biden beat the guy who lifted all of the Republicans to victory. Now, that's historic. You guys feel played yet? Biden overcame Trump's commanding primary vote, number five. In the past, primary vote totals have been remarkably accurate in predicting general election winners. Political analyst David Chapman highlighted three historical facts before the election. First, no incumbent who has received 75% of the total primary vote has lost re-election. Second, President Trump received 94% of the primary vote, which is the fourth highest of all time. And third, Trump set a record for the most primary votes received by an incumbent when more than 18 million people turned out for him. So in order for us to believe that Joe Biden won, he created one of the most inexplicable political magic tricks in American history. Got 80 million votes, 10 million more than Obama, which might explain why Obama's doing all this media lately, trying to justify that maybe he was the one that made Joe Biden. I'm the kingmaker. Winning despite losing all the bellwether counties. Biden trailed Clinton, except in just a few key cities. Biden won But Democrats got blown out everywhere. That only Biden was the one that won. And that Biden overcame Trump's commanding primary vote. Federalist, phenomenal article. All of this is not explained by any person in the activist media or in Democrat circles. How is this possible, absent fraud? It's not. We had ballots being sent out all across the planet. We have ballots that we don't know who filled out these ballots with no signature verification. We went through multiple examples here of people that were getting 20, 30, 40, 50 ballots sent to their home. We're supposed to believe that Joe Biden was so effective in animating people that he couldn't host a rally at any point of time. This is the most artificial campaign in American history. If we allow this Joe Biden victory to go unchecked, if we allow this Joe Biden win to go unlitigated, American politics will never be the same. Instead, we are going to have a new normal of not campaigning, not persuading, instead just using mafioso-style tactics to get the most amount of ballots in. Let's play tape of President Trump warning about mail-in balloting before the election. Why didn't Republicans listen? Play tape.
They're being sent all over the place. They sent two in a Democrat area. They sent out 1,000 ballots. Everybody got two ballots. This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen.
And the newscast continues by covering that. There is these ballot drop boxes. That was September 29th, by the way. This is going to be a fraud like we've never seen. And of course, the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation ignored him and didn't do anything. And we're supposed to believe these five magical ways that Joe Biden outperformed the election norms just happened because he was such a magnetic candidate. This is a power grab. And then we have the Center for Tech and Civic Life with nearly $400 million that got pumped into our elections. We have Google's interference. We have the granny farming, the ballot intercepting, the developmentally disabled people that were taken advantage of, the Nevada Native Project, the videos of people that tore up ballots, which we showed many times here on the Charlie Kirk Show, the videos of people disregarding ballots when they were counting them, ballots that were lost, Dominion voting systems. The only thing that could really possibly fix this is if those guys that wear the jackets that say the three letters FBI are told by the suits that the boots can start doing their job. Until that happens, this anti-gravity machine that Joe Biden has created in American politics is just going to continue. And we're just supposed to believe that Joe Biden got 80 million votes. Oh, yeah, people hated Trump that much. Winning despite losing all the bellwether counties, trailing Clinton in a select few cities. And the best argument is Democrats did terribly everywhere except Joe Biden. Democrats were politically blown out except with Joe Biden. And Joe Biden being a clumsy, mentally questionable candidate. And this all ties in. 79% of Trump voters believe election was stolen through illegal voting and fraud. Politico conducted their voter priority survey, and they said nearly two-thirds of Trump voters don't accept the result. The level of distrust in the election results is unprecedented. 83% of Trump voters believe the media is the enemy of the people. 81% of Republicans believe they have less respect for Democrats than they did 4 years ago. I'm right there. Should we keep the Electoral College or use the popular vote? 61% of Republicans want to keep it. And the kicker, 79% of Trump voters think that this election was stolen. This is heading in a very dangerous direction that will result in a collision course. It will. This is 1,500 voters online from November 10th to November 19th. I think it's higher than that. I have not met one Trump voter that thinks this thing wasn't stolen. So now you have 73 to 74 million people, probably more because the tallies just keep coming in, that are convinced that this was stolen from you. What? How do you act when you think something is stolen from you? Is it usually with rationality and you just kind of let it go? No, you go on a manhunt to find out what happened and to bring justice. And I'm afraid that people that are going to feel their vote and their country stolen from them, this is going to unravel in a way that none of us are comfortable with. And the left is encouraging it. Instead of explaining, they're condemning. Instead of walking us through this, they are ridiculing us at all costs. There is no non-fraud explanation for how Joe Biden did this at all. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Please email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, your questions. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless you. Speak to you soon.